This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Howard Wilkinson here with Jay Hanselman to discuss a subject that has garnered a tremendous amount of attention since last November's election, the question of whether or not there was widespread voter fraud. The Hamilton County Board of Elections has investigated hundreds of what we are calling voter anomalies. So far, 45 cases have been referred to the county prosecutor, and three people have been convicted of illegal voting. But there's wide disagreement between the Republicans and the Democrats on the elections board about what constitutes voter fraud or voter irregularity. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Later in the hour, Jay Hanselman will be talking about form-based codes, which will be used to further future planning and development for Cincinnati neighborhoods. But first, joining us to talk about possible voter fraud are two members of the Hamilton County Board of Elections, Alex Trianafilou, the chairman of the Hamilton County Republican Party, and his counterpart in the Democratic Party, Tim Burke. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good to be with you, Howard.
First of all, I know for the last 8 months you've done pretty much nothing else but deal with these cases. Alex, start with you. Republicans on the board, yourself and Chip Gerhart, seem to have been pushing pretty hard on these investigations. Do you see a widespread problem of voter fraud in this county, and do you think that there's any kind of organization behind it, either a political party or candidates?
Well, the question of whether it's widespread or not probably is politically charged, Howard. And the fact of the matter is, even one case of voter fraud should cause great consternation among the public. You know, what I would say to you and to your listeners is, if we had documented cases of voter suppression, which is where people were actively kept from voting, you know, it would be considered a real tragedy in our elections process. In Hamilton County, you know, we've had 35 cases now sent over to the prosecuting attorney for review. We have had several felony indicted cases. So, you know, is it widespread in the traditional use of that word? We can't prove that it's widespread. Your second question was, is it an organized effort by some group? I don't see any pattern. I don't think that anyone has purposely tried to defraud the election. I think we just have – well, I mean – certainly some people have defrauded the election, but has it been done in a coordinated way? The answer is no.
Tim, I know you believe that if people violate the law, election laws, that they should be prosecuted. Correct?
Well, certainly where a voter has deliberately gone out of their way to cast a vote that they shouldn't have cast, where they've gone out of their way to cast a second vote and to get a second vote counted – yeah, that needs to be prosecuted, and we've cooperated in those. There's no question about that. It's misleading to suggest that there are 45 cases that have been referred to the prosecutor. It is a correct statement, but 35 of those cases are very much in dispute, and I think it's okay. Exceptionally unlikely that the prosecutor is going to do anything with any of them.
Let's talk about those 35 cases first. Those are people, as I understand it, who voted absentee ballots. They showed up at their polling places on election day, and for whatever reason, they said they weren't sure if it had arrived or they couldn't remember. They were given a provisional ballot to vote. That was proper, correct, of the poll workers to do that.
Well, it's assuming they did that. We're not entirely sure if the poll workers instructed people to do that. Now, is it proper that they got a provisional ballot? Yes.
Okay.
The law specifically says under those circumstances, if a voter votes an absentee ballot and goes to their polling place on election day, they shall be permitted is what the law says, to cast a provisional ballot. That's what the fight has been over with regard to those voters. We tied on the board. The Secretary of State broke that tie in favor of sending all of them to the prosecutor. I don't believe anybody's going to be prosecuted for that.
Well, I think it's important also to understand that the cases that were sort of, quote, referred, some of them were just referred for further investigation, Howard. And from our position, on the board. We think that if two ballots are cast in an election, we really ought to be asking why. We ought to just be looking. And we've had several instances where there are legitimate reasons why a person would cast a second ballot. What we're not prepared to do is to automatically exonerate any person who has actually filled in two ballots, especially in a critical presidential year in a critical state. It just doesn't make any sense to not ask the further question, why did this occur? So some of these cases, we refer them specifically requesting that they be further investigated.
But you need to make it clear about these voters, though. Mm-hmm. Every one of them only had one vote counted, because the law that says they shall be permitted to cast a provisional ballot goes on in that same section to explain how you count the votes and what vote gets counted. And in all 35 of those cases, they had one vote counted.
Alex, in the case of those 35 voters and the fact that you voted to send them to the prosecutor, was that based on the fact that the Hamilton County prosecutor, Joe Dieters, had issued an opinion or saying that he wanted to look at all of these cases that were coming up?
Yes, Howard. We had what I continue to believe a fairly good faith difference on what the law was. Mr. Burke, my counterpart here, a lawyer. I'm a lawyer as well. We looked at the provisions of the law. There's also a provision in state law, by the way, that says no person shall cast two ballots, more than one ballot, by any means. So you have kind of conflicting provisions of the law. So we ultimately looked at it. We weren't clear. We asked the prosecuting attorney for an opinion, and the prosecuting attorney told us, send them over to me for review. Not send him over to me for indictment. Don't send him over for, you know, a guarantee of felony criminal charges. Send him over for review. That's what we voted to do.
Why is that a bad thing, Tim?
Because I think it scares voters. I really do think that. I think people who followed the law, in some cases followed the advice given by our board staff about the ability to go to the polling place on election day and vote a provisional ballot. In one case we know of, following the advice of Greg Hartman, a Hamilton County commissioner, who I don't think did anything wrong in offering the advice to a person who was afraid that because they only put one stamp on their envelope sending the absentee ballot back, that it wouldn't be delivered in time. And Hartman suggested she go to her polling place and cast a provisional ballot. There's nothing wrong with that.
I do want to say, in defense of Commissioner Hartman, I've asked him about this. He doesn't recall the conversation. That's never been part of our discussion. We've never taken sworn testimony on it. But anyway, again, he's talked to lots of folks. He doesn't specifically remember doing that. It's entirely possible that he did.
We are talking about voter fraud in Hamilton County. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You can join our conversation 513-419-7100. Also talk at WVXU.org if you'd like to email. We're on Facebook at 91.7 WVXU and on Twitter at 91.7 WVXU, the hashtag WVXU Talk.
And we've also got a large number of voters who have been challenged. And could both of you explain what that means to challenge a voter?
Sure. There are a couple of provisions in election law in Ohio that allow anyone to issue a challenge against the right of an individual to be registered at a particular address. And one of the things that a group called the Voter Integrity Project has been doing is identifying people who they believe to be registered at places where they don't live. And the law says you've got to be registered from that place that is your residence. And they've done, while they started out on a bad footing because they challenged a family in Lackland who happened to be African American and who happened to live exactly where they were registered from, it got them off on the wrong foot. But since then, many of the challenges that they've come in with have appeared to be legitimate. A trailer park out in Harrison that shut down and no longer exists. Nobody should be registered at that address anymore. And we've taken testimony on all of these matters, and in many cases, we've approved their challenges, but we haven't removed the voters from the voting roll because those voters still have the right to go to the precinct where they now live and cast a provisional ballot on election day. And if they do that, they'll be fine. If they go back to their old precinct where they no longer live, they will be challenged. They'll be required to vote a provisional ballot, but that ballot won't in all likelihood be counted.
Is that an equitable process?
Absolutely, I think so. And I mean, the challenges that have been filed have been approved at alarming – not alarming is the wrong word – at high rates. We've had I would say, again, in the 90% range of challenges that are presented that we actually agree with. So the Ohio Voter Integrity Project – is doing a good public service by cleaning the voter rolls of homes and addresses that aren't legitimate on the voter rolls.
Okay. And more recently, we've been presented with some other unique issues that we're still wrestling with. One is that a whole series of voters have been identified as being registered from post office boxes or mail drops at UPS stores or, in one case, at a Cricket store. We're still evaluating how to deal with those. Those clearly are not residential addresses. And perhaps the most interesting one that we've got now are the RV nomads who spend the bulk of their time traveling the country in their trailers. And a couple of dozen of them are registered from a location out on Round Bottom Road near Newtown that allows trailers to pull up there and be located there for a period of time.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit further later. Do we have a call?
We do have a call from Stephanie. Stephanie, you're on the air. Go ahead.
And I can tell you there was a lot of honest confusion with the absentee ballots. Now, in the past, wasn't there postage on the absentee ballots where people could just drop them in the mailbox in past years?
I don't think so.
I thought so, perhaps. Okay. Well, anyway, there was a lot. We've got a lot of questions about that. And I know that there were people who, just because they weren't sure the ballot got in there in time, that they probably did go and vote provisionally. And this was not, the other comment I want to make is there was out-and-out effort to block many people from voting easily. And I think we should be trying to make it easier for people to vote. There should have been more places in the center, in the inner city, instead of people. I stood in line for hours to vote myself.
Stephanie, we appreciate your call, and you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.